Hey, Scrappy. What you doing?
Oh, nothing much. I'm just here. Hi, Moreland. Are you here for your Gatorade break since you've been drowning in puss for the last 3 days?
Yeah, of course. Hey, Becky. Your head looks nice and shiny today.
Thanks. I really tried to shave it good this week.
Looks good,
Hey,
looks good.
Anastasia, what are you doing?
Well, I just got off the pole. I made about $2,000 tonight, but it's just not enough to keep me in what I like to wear.
So are we going to start like a podcast or something?
Maybe. What do you think, Scrappy?
I think it's a good idea. I've got a name for it, too.
What is it?
The Premium Content Stationery Podcast.
I love it.
Anyways,
what's going on, Free Rotation Nation? Spoiler alert, this is actually Scoob. We were actually in a different universe. That's why that happened. Because this is the end of our multiverse roundup.
Wait, I'm not supposed to be here.
Go home.
Someone give the stripper an extra 20.
I got it. How about 750?
Come on, Becky with the bald head. I got some use for that girl.
Okay, I'm coming.
I'm scared now.
And she's
was
gone.
Was that me?
Yeah.
When did you become a stripper in
when
another life?
When did you become bald?
You know, I don't know, but
when did you become like 900 pounds thinner?
Ow! That
well,
hurt even me.
No, because Shaggy's like super skinny. Oh, I didn't mean it because
No, you're good. I knew what you meant. We're going to let it go. Don't cut this out. This is great.
Anastasia also called him Scrappy, not Shaggy.
Well, fuck it. We're in.
You did.
And since when does Moreland get... Since when does Moreland get laid?
Does Anastasia need to go back and edit that?
No. I'll just
have an edit be like, Shaggy.
No, this is the whole... Well, Anastasia would be bad at it because you're good at it.
Oh. Okay.
Dug us out of that hole. Problem for one. Solved.
You son of a bitch!
There's some meth in the other room.
Thanks, man.
Problem solved.
What is this episode about again?
Multiverses and different takes on characters. Mine will be probably more predominantly comic books, but there's some that all of you actually know and you were unaware that you actually knew.
Okay.
Ooh, I like the sound of it.
Yeah, because I thought about it in the car while I was taking a dump today at work.
I probably know it.
Okay.
So we'll start.
Yeah. I probably know it.
And it'll be the first time. So we'll start with the ones everybody do. So we all, speaking of Scooby-Doo, we're all familiar with Scooby-Doo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever remember, was it Speed Buggy or Jabberjaw? All they did was change what the thing was. It was a race car or dune buggy and a shark, and it was the same principle.
Yep.
But instead of being stoners, they were musicians who were typically stoners. So all they did was divert it from a dog to a shark to a dune buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Cool story, bro.
Interesting.
Think about that for a minute, yeah.
And you know what? Also, Josie and the Pussycats is pretty much the same thing, too.
Yeah, they just...
Because the Shaggy character is just a blonde.
Yeah, they just cut a few people out and did all that. By the way, that movie was awful. I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. Back in my young days...
Yesterday.
Yes. But I knew I was very gay, even at 6 years old, watching Josie and the Pussycats.
Well, that gets into a whole different thing that I would like to cover one day, but...
That blonde was hot.
That blondo. Talk about.
I was always partial to the redhead.
I thought the redhead was cute too, but the blonde was like, would she laugh like that?
I was always partial to the redhead. Always.
Now you know what it feels like, Scoop, when you do this.
Nah, I'm fucking. I enjoyed it. I was just watching you, just watching this happen.
I was like, I don't. I'm not. I'm keeping up. I'm keeping up.
So, like I said, since most of it's going to be comic book based, I'll hit a couple that are really interesting. I'm not going to give you the universe numbers for the different universes because they're going into the thousands. But
they're infinite, so.
But yes, so are the crises. And I've kind of tailored one to each one of you that I think you would find very entertaining.
Oh.
Angie, there is a universe in DC Comics where it's all gender reversed. Wonder Woman is actually a man.
Oh.
Same core values.
Just Superman?
No. This is literally Diana's complete story, gender swapped.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Batman's a woman, I'm guessing?
Yep. Yeah, what part of gender swapped
does Wonder Woman and Batman get together in that
I believe they just follow the main story and they just all the divergences.
Why are you getting the pervious look on your face, Angie?
Okay, I'm good.
Jesus,
because my shoes are waterproof. I think every Angie's Wonder Woman of the strap-on theory just completed. Yes! See,
she grew up on an island of women,
which this one was technically an island of dudes.
Look at her face; she doesn't care now.
Not as sexy,
or more sexy, depending on if you're straight or not, or gay or not.
I'm letting Angie just take this and just process it and see how she feels right now.
Yeah, it's not as sexy. Okay, we'll skip the island of men and just go directly to Wonder Woman getting pooned.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wondercock. You mean Wonder Man hitting?
No, Wonder Man is Marvel Universe. Wonder Man is Marvel Universe.
There's a Wonder Man.
What was Wonder Woman's name in Manverse?
I think it's
Dan
Troy. I'm not sure.
Was it Wonder Man? Wonder Woman Man? Wonder Woe to Man?
I think it might have actually been Wonder Man. No, it couldn't have been because Wonder Man, that's a Marvel property.
I'll
have to get back to you. But you know the outfit that she typically wears?
Yeah.
They did it based on the American.
Did he look like Richard Simmons?
No.
Oh.
But you, they.
Can he now?
I'm sure he could if they wanted to.
In your head, he does.
But they actually did the costume when they introduced the universe when she had like the American flag panties. He was wearing American flag board shorts and just like a shirt that had the Wonder W, but it was a W and an M. I think so. I think it was Wonder Man, Man of Wonder might have been it. I think it actually might have been
it. I think as soon as you described the outfit, I remembered Man of Wonder.
I'll pull it up and
okay.
See. Marlon, what was your favorite super? One of your typical favorite superheroes?
I like them all, so...
So you don't have...
I don't really have a specific favorite. No.
Well, I know Becky's a big Batman fan, mm-hmm. and actually right now Batman is going through, it's called the Dark Knight's Metal.
Okay.
They're all evil universes where one is the God of War, one is Doomsday, one is a gender-swapped Aquaman clone, one is actually the Joker. But there's other ones, and they've taken... They're in the Elseworld imprint.
Mm-hmm.
There is one where he is actually Dr. Frankenstein.
Okay.
And he reanimates his father's corpse with bat DNA.
I feel like that makes sense. Kind of. Yeah, sure. I can see it.
There's
one
where he is a member of the clergy and never becomes Batman, but is just a normal, like, cleric.
Or in this universe, there's Fat Man and that's you.
What then?
Isn't that Jay from, or isn't that Bob from Jay and Silent Bob in the movie?
Yes.
So that's already taken.
Well, that's just disappointing that my joke just got ruined.
No, it was Blunt Man and Chronic.
Blunt Man and Chronic, yes. Oh, okay. So
you can be Fat Man.
The other one is when he becomes a Green Lantern.
Batman became the Green Lantern?
Yes, twice technically. Because there's the one for Dark Knight's Metal, and there's one where when his parents were murdered, the ring finds him and he doesn't see the whole bat, so he becomes a lantern. So he doesn't have the pointy ears. He still has the cape. And I'll show you a picture of it. There's also one where he is actually a general in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So he is sent as a spy for Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And the Robin analog in that is called Red Bird.
Ooh.
And it turns out that the guy who's the analog for Penguin is the one who killed his parents. So he scalps him.
I think it's interesting. I realize I say interesting a lot, but I think it's funny to see that I guess they have to keep the stories fresh. They have to come up with these alternative universes characters.
Well, they don't have to, but what if in Elseworlds, like, you always wonder, well, what if instead of that happened, and, you know, that's just natural human nature. If I did this or if I did this.
So it's kind of like, I guess a good example of that would be Superman Red Sun.
One of the penultimate alternate universes.
Is Red Sun.
Red Sun, S-O-N, where because of the rotation of the Earth, he gets hung up on some gravity coming around the moon, and he actually lands in Soviet Russia instead of America. So he's actually brought up in the Stalinist regime, the Stalinist era. He's still the same core values of Superman, which is really interesting. If you haven't read it, I'll loan it to you. But it's really interesting because he's still trying to save Lois and all this and all these things. but he's in gray, black, and it's a hammer and sickle instead of the S.
Right.
And he, much like the Injustice universe, he takes over Russia and makes it a utopia. And Lex Luthor is actually genetically engineering the Bizarro clone as the Superman for America.
Okay.
It actually has an alternate take on Hal Jordan to the point where he's still an Air Force pilot, but the Lantern, the Fring doesn't find him.
Mm-hmm.
They find the crashed ship of Abin Sur, and they...
Who's that?
The Lantern that...
The Lantern
Hal Jordan got his Lantern from.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because of the way Lantern rings work, I may have touched on this before, is when you are killed as a Lantern, your ring automatically like comes off and goes finds the next sentient being.
I saw that in a movie once.
Yes.
It was
yes.
in Justice League.
Yes.
It's also in that terrible Green Lantern. I mean, really fantastic Green Lantern movie.
The best one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is actually one of the core Lantern things.
Well, I noticed that one of the big AU, I'm going to call it AU, the AU characters is the one alternate universe. Alternate universe.
Multiverse is also.
Yeah, well, when I say when I say AU, AU is used in a lot of fan fiction.
Okay.
Basically,
this is a new term to me.
So right, yeah. AU, basically, when you see it in a fan fiction, means that it takes place in an alternate universe.
Same characters, completely different storylines.
Yeah.
Okay, so with the point of divergence that we were talking about last time.
No.
They're just different characters.
So
really?
So it would be like if you're Once Upon a Time fan fiction is Emma Swan and Regina Mills, but set in a completely different They have no powers. They're not themselves.
So, like...
Same backstory. So, yeah. Emma's always a foster kid who's lost her parents. Regina's always neglected.
But she's not the analog for Princess A. She's the analog for Princess B, kind of, or...
Mm-mm. No, like, the one example I could think of is there's a Bleach fan fiction, and what it is, it's an AU, but it takes the story of Bleach, but it sets it in, like, a sci-fi setting. So, instead it's the same story.
Okay.
And so, like, in Once Upon a Time fan fiction, they take Emma and Regina... And there's a story called Popcorn Love, which actually was recently published because it was so good. And it takes the two of them, but Emma is now a college student and Regina is a businesswoman. And it just takes characters that you know and puts them in completely different settings.
Yeah, so what you would say for Superman Red Sun, if it was a fan fiction, it would be considered AU because it wouldn't take place in the actual setting.
Okay, cool. See, I knew nothing about this. I was like, okay, cool.
I guess the AU would be like the flack that a lot of people got was the Captain America working for Hydra. Was that not a thing?
No, that was last year or two. That was 18 months ago and people lost their shit. And I know the backstory behind that.
I was about to say, spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's actually canon.
It is really canon. I thought that was some sort of like...
Oh, that's canon.
Yeah, what it is the Red... I believe it was the Red Skull got access to the Cosmic Cube. And reset Steve Rogers to think he was an undercover Hydra agent and rewrite his history. So he was an actual Hydra agent.
He actually gave Steve Rogers an AU.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's actually definitely based on what
you... And you know what? Beast Wars, Beast Planet.
Beast Wars.
Beast Wars for Transformers is Uber, because it sets them as animals when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Uber universe.
And he wasn't Optimus Prime, he was Optimus Primal.
Yep.
So yeah, that's kind of like the AU stat. That's how I consider characters that are not canon with a different storyline. We call them AU in fan fiction.
Well, the nice thing with the multiverse stuff, especially with DC, is they make them canon because they had a situation with Spider-Man last year, 2 years ago. They called it the Spider-Verse, where he was actually universe hopping because they had it where these creatures, and for the life of me, I can't remember them, but they were eating what's called the spider totems. So they would go to each universe and find that universe of Spider-Man and kill them for their power.
Isn't there a cartoon about to come out that is a Spider-Man universe? And
there's
several Spider-Mans to it, and like one's
like there's a black, there's Agent Venom, which is the Venom Spider-Man. There's a Gwen, which is she's a Spider Girl. There's
several of them that they're all
because
Agent Venom is actually Flash Thompson in control of the Venom symbiote because he was a soldier and he lost his legs, and it was the most recent war.
Lieutenant Dan lost his legs.
Yeah, but he lost his legs in the war, and they figured out that if you're exposed to the Venom symbiote for a limited amount of time, you can still maintain control of it.
Every time I think about this now, like the Spider-Man thing, I think of the Power Rangers that had all the infinite Power Rangers. Remember that episode where it was like all of the Power Rangers from every generation?
That's a very good, like the Forever Red episodes.
I love those episodes.
That is a very good example. It's they're all the same. Well, they're all the
well, they're all the same iteration, basically.
Well, they're all the or usually reds. I think one of the most common is the color that I think every team has. I'm pretty sure this is red.
Yes,
but yes, red is the color that every team has.
Yeah, so they have the Forever Red episodes. In fact, I
well, they have one Forever Red episode
in America. I think they've got a couple.
They
in
may
Japan.
Have in yeah in Japan. They probably have a few more. In America, they have one, and it takes place in. Oh Jesus, I can't remember.
It takes place in his name was Cole. He wore a red headband. And the funny thing about that was they didn't know if they were going to get the original Red Ranger Austin St. John to come back because there was some controversy with some things he had done post Power Rangers.
Was that the one
sex tape?
Oh wait, no, I was about to say which one is the one that ended up murdering somebody.
That is a different one.
That's a different
he
one.
He was actually acquitted.
Oh, was he really? I thought he was in jail.
Well, the roommate attacked him.
Oh.
And he defended with a weapon.
I gotcha.
With a knife or something, and he defended himself with a sword.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
So that was he was actually acquitted because it was self defense. But yes, the Spider-Man stuff Spider-Man's always had different because they've had the whole clone saga. So you have Ben Reilly and the Scarlet Spider and all. But the multiverse stuff, and this is that's why we kind of called it the multiverse. Is just I think one of my favorite multiverse stories though might be Flashpoint.
Okay. Yes,
which
Flashpoint Paradox is great.
Yeah, the Flash to save his mother's life.
Mm-hmm.
He finds out he can run back in time and save the Flash. Well, by doing that, the chain of events he sets up. See, and that's what we're talking about. Like, have you ever seen the movie? Was it Butterfly Effect?
Yes.
Which I watched the other day to prep for this and this whole rotation. You change one thing, and a lot of shit goes weird.
Yeah.
So basically, Flash runs back in time. Saves his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up, he doesn't become Flash. He doesn't get his powers or anything. But it also ends up, instead of Bruce living and his parents dying, Bruce dies. His parents live. His dad becomes Batman.
Oh, so that's how Batman, or I guess that's how Batman.
Thomas Wayne. He becomes the gun-toting Batman.
Okay.
His mother is driven
becomes
insane.
The Joker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Remember, I know we covered it on
that. Yeah, we've talked about this
Yeah,
before.
And you freaked out. You're like, wait, what?
No, I've seen pictures of it and I've seen the art for it, but I didn't realize that related back to an actual whole thing. I thought it was just somebody doing character art.
And actually, Angie, you'll appreciate this one. Wonder Woman remains remotely the same. Aquaman remains remotely the same. But because they're the two heads of foreign nations and emissaries, Mira, Aquaman's wife, attacks Wonder Woman because she refuses to help protect the world. So Wonder Woman kills her after she sleeps or tries to sleep with Aquaman to form a peace treaty between Themyscira and Atlantis. Mm. But let's just say that Wonder Woman takes out a lot of people in Flashpoint. Your girl's a badass, more than Jody is.
Wonder Woman kills Aquaman's wife because she attacked him.
Yeah.
Because she attacked Wonder Woman.
And that causes war between the Atlanteans and the Themyscirans.
With the surface world and the rest of us in the middle.
Yep. Well, because remember, they were at war once a long time ago before they had to come together to beat what's his
before there was before Darkseid and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And... In this reignites that. Yeah, in this, they basically stay at war.
Mm.
And
like, they flood the whole eastern seaboard. Like, London is completely underwater. But no, watching that battle is amazing.
Oh, yeah,
it is. The thing about it, and you're going to wonder, well, where's Superman, right? He never gets found by the Kents or anybody. The government finds him because he crashes, like, near Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep him in a red sun locked room. So when they find him, trigger warning maybe, because the way I have to describe him.
Okay.
He looks like a cancer patient who's withering away because he's never seen yellow sun.
Gotcha.
He's thin. He's just...
He looks like a POW.
Okay.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
But as soon as Cyborg, who is remotely the same...
Remotely.
As soon as he figures out where Superman is and they free him and he walks out in the sunlight, like they break him out at night and he walks and the sun is rising... He gets his first few rays of sunlight, and his heat vision goes crazy, and he just incinerates.
Well,
he incinerates an entire army on accident because he doesn't know how to. Close.
He doesn't know. Yeah, and he's like Cyborg.
Cyclops when he first gets his powers. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And he puts his hands over his eyes, and the lasers are shooting out, and it's just causing chaos. And then he figures out he can fly, and he's got that weird, like, you know, when a deer first learns to walk, flight.
Yeah.
If you have Netflix, as far as I know, it's still on Netflix. Flashpoint Paradox. It's worth the time to watch it.
Okay.
Instead of Billy Batson being Shazam, it's made up of seven kids. With most of them have they're special needs kids, pretty much. Like one's on crutches and stuff like that.
Yeah, so he becomes the rep because Mercury, which gives him the speed, because Shazam is an analog for Mercury and Athena, and I forget, I'll have to read it because it ties into the next part of Moreland's rotation. It's actually, they're the Greek or Roman gods, and it's the Shazam is actually just an amalgam, or what is it?
It takes power
like from... FBI means Federal Bureau of Intelligence. It's an acronym. It's an acronym, right?
Yeah,
it's an acronym. Shazam is.
It's kind of funny that you mention like Greek mythology, because if you think about it, each iteration of a god is actually another iteration of another god.
Yeah, like the Greeks have theirs, the Romans have theirs, the Norse
have
theirs.
So it's something that has always gone back, is you always find different stories of basically the same characters. Even in the Bible, you can see the same stories told in just a different fashion. I think what is fascinating about that kind of idea, because you know, you see it in comic books all the time, you see the change in characters.
Yeah, but I think with the Bible and texts like that, that's kind of where the I'm gonna say idea, for lack of a better word, but that's where the concept,
well, even
that's where that came from
far back before that. If you look at Native American storytelling, you see the same,
because it's all oral tradition.
Yeah, you see the same iteration of British folklore versus American folklore of all of that. So it's not a new idea, and I think comic books are a good example of a modern way these stories have characters have been changed.
And plus with comic books, you can add that way more fantastical side.
Right.
Which is really ironic, because if oral tradition seems like you could just blow anything out of proportion. But, I mean, with comic book, you can blow it super out of proportion. The Grimm's fairy tales. Because there's the ones we all know, you know.
Well, you have Grimm's fairy tales. So you have the original story, or not original stories, but you have a variation of a lot of fairy tales that are a lot darker than what you see maybe in Disney.
Yeah, because I know I just know the Cinderella one for some reason. Because we all know Cinderella. We saw the Disney version, or we've read Hans Christian Andersen, or whatever the... Because some of them came from Japanese folklore, too.
And yeah, Ponyo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ponyo would be a good example of... Ponyo is a Studio Ghibli, but it's basically a variation telling of The Little Mermaid.
Ponyo's great, by the way.
Yeah, it's adorable. But
meanwhile, The Little Mermaid, a lot darker than Disney made it.
Yeah.
All of these enough about the... I know Little Mermaid, since we've got the tie into all three, because I don't know what the Japanese equivalent, if there's one for Cinderella.
The thing you got to remember about Grimm and Hans Christian Andersen and the French guy whose name I can never remember... is that they traveled collecting these stories that were already there. So, and then they retold them.
Yep. Because I know a little bit about the Grimm's fairy tale version of Little Mermaid, where she gets the legs.
Tag your spoilers. I'm just kidding.
I mean, that's irrelevant if you've never read don't read the Grimm. If your child is five, don't read to them like Grimm's, not the... But the two parts of it I know are... that when she gets the legs, every step, because she's never had legs, feels like she's walking on broken glass.
Right. And she does have her voice. Okay. She could have at any time told him exactly who she was and what she needed from him. And she only had 24 hours to get him.
Yeah, and that wasn't there... I think there's something where, like, he turned into sea foam, or he married someone else.
She does turn into sea foam.
No, but there was something bad that happened to him. I think there was involved the eating of mermaid flesh.
She killed him. She had to eat him to save herself.
That was it. Yeah, she had to eat him. I do remember something. Thank you, Angie, because I could not remember the life of me.
Yeah.
I can remember Cinderella better.
Doesn't she end up, like, just sewing her legs back together?
Well, she ends up turning back, and then she gets turned into sea foam. So, and then it also diverges there, because after she kills him and his new bride, she jumps, you know, back into the water and blah, 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 evil forever, da-da-da. But in another version, she refuses to kill him, and she wishes him the best, and she jumps into the water, and he realizes as she's leaving that she's the one that he wanted, and he spends the rest of his life, you know, on the sea, and she's the sea foam that laps up on the boat, and that's the only way they can touch each other. It's very sad.
The Cinderella one...
But in the original, she murders him.
That's creepy.
She's like, you know, fuck you, I've done all this for you. But meanwhile, she never told him. He never gave her any impression that he was interested.
I thought the mute thing was all through all versions.
It's not the Japanese version that has the mute one, but I think in the Japanese version, she also becomes seafoam.
I think that's the payoff is she becomes Seafoam and all of them. Like, that's
well,
her.
Not yeah, and I mean, Disney her. Can't really go in there and be like, hey, guess what? There's Kiss characters.
They own Fox. They can now.
Well, they can now, but, you know, back in the day when they made the movie.
They can't put Seafoam in it, but they can put a dick in there.
Oh, yeah, the upside down dick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
the priest with the heart on.
Or whatever.
The dick coral, yeah. But the Cinderella one, for those of you who enjoy Cinderella, prepare to have your fucking happiness destroyed.
Okay, go.
That's a spoiler alert. Fuck it.
Happiness destruction in 3, 2, 1.
Commence destruction.
From what I remember, the diverging point is when she finds, after she gets the glass slipper, bring it to the stepsisters. They literally, like, one of them cuts off her toes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them cuts off her heel.
Yeah, to fit their foot into the slipper.
And it doesn't work. And then they, you know, they find out and she decides to get married. Well, the evil stepmother, who walks in with decrepit one and decrepit two now, they make her dance in shoes that are heated up with a forge, so they're red hot till she dies.
Till she dies. She has to dance till she dies in these red hot shoes.
There's also a...
That's...
For those of us who might...
It's gory because he asks Cinderella, you know, what is the one thing you want for your wedding gift? She's like, I want her to dance in hot shoes till she dies.
That bitch was...
Okay, a little excessive.
That bitch savage.
No, have you... I think... I don't know if it's a fan fiction or just an all... It might be a fan fiction, but there's a fan fiction where Elsa just becomes an evil ice witch. Just an evil... Like, she summons an ice army of snowmen. It's amazing.
The original... Angie's probably gonna have to help me with this one, but the original Ice Queen story is she is evil. She's
okay. Then that
she
is,
and
okay,
then the brother and sister, and that's Hans Christian Andersen, yes. I think. And the brother gets taken by the Ice Queen, and
Are you thinking
one of them?
I'm thinking Snow White and the Huntsman, which is a whole different thing.
That's a whole different thing. But the Ice Queen keeps the children under a frozen pond, and she goes there and she sees that she has to melt the heart of the Ice Queen. It's a little gay,
yeah,
to
but
be honest. But
Elsa is actually an amalgamation
coming
of,
from you.
Then, yeah.
Of the White Witch.
Of the was the White Witch Chronicles of Narnia though?
Well, I think that her name was the White Witch, right? The Snow Queen.
It was the Snow Queen.
Okay, cool. See, yeah, okay. So I wasn't completely off base.
No, Elsa. Elsa's an amalgamation of the ice or the Snow Queen, but they had to Disney fire, and so instead of becoming evil. Or doing what effectively was evil. Because I think her sister in that movie was supposed to be the little girl and the other guy was supposed to be... I've never seen Frozen, so...
Yeah, I haven't either.
So, But they did catch on that. If you watch Once Upon a Time, they have Elsa and then they have the Snow Queen as well.
Okay.
It makes absolutely no fucking sense.
Well, I mean, the way they could have...
They can't have evil Elsa.
Yes, they can. They absolutely can.
Well, the thing
they
is,
can't
Elsa,
have evil Elsa.
Well, the thing is, here's my thing about, and I'm going back on my soapbox about Once Upon a Time.
Hold on, wait. Becky, here's your box.
Thank you. Okay. The thing with Once Upon a Time is that...
It's breaking. Careful.
Okay. I'm going to lean on it.
Quick.
Here we go.
Quick.
All right, I'm leaning.
Your opinions mean nothing.
The thing with Once Upon a Time is
just
that...
Just do the Captain Morgan on it.
Guys, please, before I lose my thought. It's...
You had a thought?
I do.
Let her have it.
Is that it started out as stories about fairy tales, but it instead became stories that were Disney-fied. So you had Mulan, which is not a fairy tale. It's not an urban legend. It's a legend. It's a Chinese legend, basically. Yeah. Elsa is not a real fairy tale.
You know what? I'll let you finish, but I have an idea. I had an idea how they could
keep going.
Say the show went downhill.
Yes,
I have an idea they could save it when you're done. Let me know when you're done. I have an idea they could save it. I've never seen this show, but this sounds amazing.
But it's you took all of the great part. Like if you watch the first season was fantastic. It had the Huntsman. It was more of a variation of the actual stories, fairy tale stories.
Was it more for like the young adult or actually adult set?
No. It was more adult. Snow White and Prince Charming had a baby just as the Evil Queen released a curse that. Took them to our world and made them forget themselves. A world with no magic.
No, what I'm saying is, like, if it's on ABC, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, like, would someone of our age group appreciate it more than, say, a 10
or
12
year old? No, I think it's all ages. Yeah.
Well, it didn't start as Disney as it became.
It's not WB.
I think that was what I was asking.
Yeah, it's not like Vampire Diaries or anything like that.
I like how we both lunged for the can and we're still, like, sort of.
It's empty.
But I think you could have appreciated more as an adult because the fairy tales were something most people knew, but it didn't hit on the dark parts of the fairy tales, but it also kind of hit on the true versions of the fairy tales.
That reminds me of that 360 game, Wolf Among Us. The one where they get, they're in this town, and it's a glamour, and the big bad wolf is like a cop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good, like, by the, it's within the Telltale series, it's like the first game they did.
Mm-hmm. But then they really Disney-fied it in the next seasons after that. So you had Mulan, you had Elsa, you had Peter Pan, which is not a fairy tale
like
either.
It had taken all of the fairy tale people. It had Red Riding Hood, Ruby. It was really good the first season.
Season and a half, even. Like, even in the first part of the...
I actually enjoyed the Peter Pan arc. I did.
I didn't like it. Well, I didn't care for it because I think, in my head, it was always going to be a pure fairy tale story. But then they added, like, Alice in Wonderland, all this other stuff that I felt was unnecessary. Which, I get it. You want to, like, have a... I mean, this whole thing is about having different versions of characters. Mm-hmm. But they didn't end up having different versions of characters. They just ended up having Disney characters. In a live-action TV show.
I think... Can you get off the box now?
I'm off the box now.
Okay.
Thank you, because it was about to break.
I think the way they could have saved this, and this goes back to something me and Mullen have watched on... it used to be What Culture, but he left it. It's called How They Should Have Booked, which is they took wrestling storylines and changed, made them different. So they've had a point of divergence. If they had taken, like, with... They brought in the Elsa type... Was she actually Elsa, or was that...
She was Elsa.
It was actually
Elsa and Anya.
So the character...
Anna.
So the character's name was Elsa.
Yes. It was the Snow Queen.
It wasn't an analog to Elsa.
It was Elsa, 100%. Okay. Like, literally outfit, everything.
If they had brought in the Elsa, or they'd brought in the characters, and then brought in either A, like a darker, or a little bit more malevolent.
Nope,
like,
they were exactly the way they were in that show. Elsa, Anna.
No. I'm saying, like, you have the Snow Queen, and you have Elsa, and you have Snow Queen be the big bad, and then slowly throughout the season you find, like, the more Grimm's fairy tale versions of the Huntsman and of Red Riding Hood. And, like, you
they
bring
killed
in
the Huntsman off, what, mid season one?
No, it was the end of season one. I think it was season finale.
I'm saying you just add a darker tone to it. And
it
be
was.
Like,
that's what it was at the very beginning of the show. They had the Huntsman and all.
No, I get
that.
I'm saying, like, but to bring it back around so people would not dislike it. Cause...
Well, no, what they did is they took Elsa. And then they also had the Snow Queen as the villain.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying is, like...
Elsa is supposed to be the Snow Queen. So.
Yeah, they're the same character.
I know, I get that. I'm saying, like, but you bring in more of the actual true versions of them. They had a Cinderella character, right?
Yes.
You bring in the Cinderella character from Grimm's, who's just a malevolent bitch. You bring in that
she's
character.
Bitchy. Cinderella in that... Yeah. And Once Upon a Time is bitchy.
Oh, okay. See, I've never seen the show.
She was pregnant for like 30-something years. she's bitchy.
But you see what I'm saying? You bring in the dark analog, the evil, or evil, quote-unquote, analog to kind of make the
show. Yeah, they're not
going
to do that.
I'm saying that could... If it wasn't Disney, they could have saved it.
Yeah. I feel like if it had been any other channel but Disney... It probably would have been more like
that. Well, the fact
that
they brought in Robin Hood and Maid Marian, and he cheated on Maid Marian with the Evil Queen. Like, you broke one of the greatest love stories of all time.
Hold on. Give me my soapbox.
Yes, that actually did happen.
That happened.
Oh, and by the way.
Wait a minute. I hate the show and I've never seen it. Hold on.
Oh, and Rumpelstiltskin is the Beast.
Of Beauty and the Beast?
Yes. Beauty and Rumpelstiltskin are together because he's the Beast.
Marlon, hold my hand. Get on the box.
No, the box is about to break anyways.
No, this is my box. It's reinforced.
I've got my own box.
Okay. I like how we just let them have it.
I can't stand in my box.
Angie, prepare to join me in my hatred for the show. Ready?
Yes,
ready?
This really disturbed me. And not because, you know, I shipped, of course, Emma. They built this whole story around Emma and the Evil Queen, and then they didn't happen. Fine, whatever. You know, not everything's gay. But then to do
hold on leave this in. Hold on, not everything's gay.
Not everything's gay.
Oh, then you'll appreciate that. I haven't tagged you in that meme yet.
You gotta tag me in it.
No. We'll continue your thought, and I'll tell you what the meme is. But you'll laugh.
But to bring in Robin Hood and have him cheat on Marian, who is his greatest? That's a real history.
And they just said no.
These were real people, and so, this was a love that just. It's the love story. It's Romeo and Juliet, Robin Hood, Maid Marian.
Or Antony and Cleopatra. Well, I don't know if you put Antony and Cleopatra in that same.
But
yeah, I get the point.
Head and he, I mean.
So this is that for fucking story purpose?
Yeah.
Fuck you, show I've never seen.
Exactly.
Fuck you.
There's a reason why it's like.
And when they did that, that's when the show just.
And I realize that I'm, like I said, I'm a lore whore, and I bitch about character development, and all my ever D&D characters are just the big tough angry. Blah, blah, blah. I get that, but at least fucking try.
Well, the thing is, like, to me, if you're gonna do a core storyline, I think you see it well in comic books. And then I want to hit on one of my examples that I think Angie would appreciate.
I don't want to lose my thing. Hold on.
Okay.
So, you know, Disney bought Fox. Fox owns mm-hmm. MASH. Remember MASH? Remember Klinger? Klinger is now a Disney princess.
He is. Klinger was one that always dressed like a woman.
To try to get out of it. Right. And no one gave a shit.
No. He was just stuck in there.
And then remember the best part? At the end of the episode, I think it's still the highest rated series finale ever. He decided to stay in Korea so the woman he fell in love with that was Korean could find her family. And everyone was like, are you fucking kidding me? You spent however many seasons trying to get out. And now you're just like, I'm going to stay so she can find her family. That was the first time I've ever looked at it. And I watched it in syndication. That's the first time I've looked at it. And I was like, fuck.
That is one of the most fucked up shows and series finales. Like, I loved it.
Because it was a war drama with a laugh track.
Yeah.
And it fucks you up.
Like, remember when he accidentally killed the guy because he was...
Which one? There's a lot of them that did that.
Yeah.
Remember the one where he it starts with Hawkeye in the funny farm place? And they're on the bus because the North Koreans were coming. And he thought he's like, someone shut those chickens up. And it turns out he blocked out and he'd killed a child.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Oh, that was so twisted. It went the whole episode where he's holding it.
And he thinks it's a dead chicken. Because his mind had...
They had to keep the kid quiet because they had to hide, and he accidentally suffocated it.
Yeah.
What show was this?
MASH. That everybody thinks is a great comedy. It was also a really fucked up show.
If you need to watch MASH.
Yeah,
you
it was about the Korean War.
Yeah, you need to watch MASH. I mean, it's not all fucked up, but you really need to.
No, it is and it isn't. Nurse Houlihan will probably forever be one of my favorite.
Why does that not surprise me?
Well, why she was so sarcastic.
Why does the fact that you're deeply in love with Hot Lips not surprise me in the fucking land?
Well, my point was...
We should watch MASH together one day. Oh my God. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say is like, I don't mind changing lore for a new story, but keep the core value of what that character was.
Right, because in Once Upon a Time, it's a true love story. True love conquers all. But you split up one of the greatest true loves of all time.
The true love of all time.
To give another true love?
Yeah.
Now, my favorite change, though, we're talking about different characters and different, I guess, different versions of those characters.
This is way more entertaining than I thought. I was always going to bitch about comic books for fucking an hour.
Here's a good example, and I hope people really look into this one, is The Mists of Avalon. This is absolutely my number one favorite book. What it is it takes the story of Morgan Le Fay.
What?
Somebody bumped the table. It was Issa bumped against.
Because my hands are like,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, start over.
Okay. It's The Mists of Avalon. Mm-hmm. It takes the story of Morgan Le Fay. And, you know, Morgan Le Fay was actually a villain in the King Arthur story.
She's actually a huge villain in fucking DC Universe.
Right. But mm-hmm. in The Mists of Avalon.
Interesting.
Batman goes against her a lot.
Yeah.
The demon Entrigan, the guy who speaks only in rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
That's his main villain is, because Merlin is a real thing, like King Arthur and all that was real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the Merlin spirit chooses generation to generation.
I think Merlin is actually still alive, like
a 2,000-year-old wizard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he's just still alive. Mm-hmm. Hanging out, like he just hangs around, like he and Constantine have just bullshat over beer one day. Well, sorry, go ahead.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Morgan Le Fay was, what it does is it takes the story and it looks at it from the perspective of the women in the story, Morgan Le Fay being the main character. And you really get a sympathetic view of what she had to go through, because the story is she's protecting paganism. She's protecting it from basically Christianity coming in. And King Arthur made her a promise that he would protect the old ways. That was what his whole purpose was. And instead, he decides to fuck Guinevere and she's going to change everything. So it takes the entire story.
Proof that pussy makes a madman matter.
Well, the problem was, it was like Guinevere was she was not in a sympathetic light whatsoever. And the characters that you know that are considered the most famous and basically the protagonists of the story, they've been turned over for you to understand the perspective of why Morgan Le Fay did what she did. So basically it takes the fact that, you know, she was raised to be a priestess, and that part of her prophecy was that she had to protect Avalon and this old ways. And it was prophesized that Arthur would betray the old ways, and it killed off all of the people she loved. I mean, if you read the story, it makes so much sense as to why she is villainized, but it also gives you a good perspective as to the women in the story who are villainized.
I have so many books on my to-read list.
Mists
now.
Of Avalon is my absolutely like hands down
favorite.
Is there
like
book.
A TLDR graphic novel or something?
No, but there is an old miniseries. No, it wasn't very good.
No, I'm saying, is there like a hardback collected, or do I have to buy like 14 different books?
No, it's one book.
Oh, okay.
See, it's one big book.
I can do that. That's
yeah,
fine.
It was.
I thought it was like a series, like Game of Thrones.
I got to the end of it and I thought to myself, geez, this is probably one of the best written stories about any sort of feminist woman perspective.
I wouldn't even say feminist. See,
and no, it's not.
And this is not anti-feminism. This is not my point. I think as a human being, any alternate take on anything is fascinating to me.
Right. But yeah, that is definitely one of the books I would 100% recommend. I think Angie bought 4 copies before she actually got to read it.
I would lose every one of them. Or spill it, or spill something on it, or drop it in the pool. Like, I just could never keep the it would always happen in the exact same spot. I'm not even kidding.
You're like my friend Ray. He would fall, they'd start walking, they get in the snow where Frodo loses the ring in the snow, and he'd fall asleep.
Yeah.
Every time. Wouldn't
I don't
matter.
Know what it is. Yeah. Or some
this
people
reminds
are just cursed.
Me of, I remember Andy brought this up, I think fucking in one of the early in rotation one where we were talking about the movie Cujo. Mm-hmm. And how you watch the movie Cujo and it's good, but you read the book and it lets you go inside Cujo's head and what he feels.
Oh, yeah.
The
he's a good
alternate
boy.
Take. Yeah. And
but
see
he's
that,
very thirsty and he's hot and then he just wants to bite somebody.
Yeah, see that.
And he doesn't want to because he's a good boy.
Yeah, see that's the. I mean, I didn't mean to open this whole room, but I'm saying like
no,
that's.
No, yeah.
To me,
and,
that's
and just
fascinating.
The thoughts in her head. You know, and
or like the if you read the book version, there's a bunch of shit they take out because they have to. But Jesus,
right. Because in the movie, I didn't like the way they changed it. Spoiler alert! But the kid lives. The most devastating part of the book is that he died.
Which kid, Georgie?
Yeah, her kid okay. That was stuck in the car with her.
Oh, that one.
Oh, you're talking about Cujo.
Yeah, Cujo.
No, I thought you were talking about it.
Yeah.
I was talking about Cujo. Sorry. No,
yeah.
Because she goes to she finally gets her courage to go against the dog, and it was for nothing because kid's dead. Like, she waited just, like, 5 minutes too long. But in the book, of course, you know, alternate ending, he lives. But that's why the book was so devastating, because you're in the kid's head, you're in her head, you're in the dog's head.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're in Cujo's head when he gets bitten by the bat. He's sniffing around
bat.
Chasing a rabbit.
I've never read the book, so it was a bat.
Yeah. He was chasing a rabbit, and the rabbit led him into a cave.
Wait.
And...
Sorry, it was just rabies? That's all he got was rabies?
It was rabies.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of demonic possession.
It
was rabies.
Did Stephen King's fucking a masterful writer? I thought it was some demonic bullshit. He just got rabies.
That's what rabies is to animals, though.
Well, no, I get that. But like when you think of Stephen King, except for like... Because, you know, I went like I watched Green Mile. And you go into Green Mile going, okay, what's some bullshit? Mm-hmm. And there is a supernatural tinge, but it's not the one you expect.
Yeah.
It's...
He killed him with their love, boss.
If you make me cry, Angie, I swear to God.
He killed him with their love. Oh, God. I can't.
But Percy got what he deserved. That motherfucker.
He did. He's the guy. Oh, God.
Me and Angie should never watch movies together.
I don't know what we just got into.
Have you never seen Green Mile?
She went potato.
No, I've never seen Green Mile.
Angie,
you've watched
Angie.
It's one of those things I made you watch.
You did not
me.
Make me watch Green
yes,
Mile.
If you
it's
think
in the car.
About it,
I have.
Big black
I have it
guy
in the car.
In prison, he killed him with their love.
I have it in the car. I have it in the car on DVD. It's Kayla's. I have to get with her.
It is but one of the best. One of the best.
You just binge watch that shit. Just yeah, that yeah. Josh Hank Redemption is like two of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
No, but Percy's this little insufferable fuck. His dad's like a congressman or a senator or something.
Mm-hmm. So they have to give him the job.
Yeah, and he
abuses the inmates. He's just hateful.
He kills a guy because it's old timey, and they put a guy in the electric chair, and the guy doesn't like him, so he breaks his fingers with a baton.
Oh, Jesus.
And he steps on his pet rat, and that's when they find out Michael Clark Duncan can bring the rat back to life because he's got these angel powers.
Okay. Yeah.
They execute the guy whose fingers that
he
Percy
burns
breaks.
Him up.
He doesn't put the water in the sponge, so it kills him. So it burns him alive, and it doesn't kill him the way it's supposed to.
It doesn't transmit the electricity directly down.
He catches fire. His eyeballs pop
He's
out.
He's screaming the whole time, and Percy's just fascinated.
And Tom Hanks' character goes to beat his ass. Or no, it was the other guy, Bull. They go to beat his ass. And he's like, well, I'll just tell my...
I'll tell my daddy.
No, it was his uncle, wasn't it? I don't think it was his dad.
It was somebody.
It was someone. It's like, I'll just tell so-and-so. And they force him to quit.
Oh.
But he, right before he's supposed to, I mean, they lock him in the padded cell too, right before he's supposed to, they have this one guy that you find out is actually the killer that to commit the crime Michael Clark Duncan's character got blamed for.
Mm-hmm.
So he grabs that guy and puts that guy in, he grabs the bad guy, puts him in a catatonic state, or no, he forces Percy to kill that guy by putting in the badness that was in the guy into Percy.
Mm-hmm.
Percy kills the guy. And then ends up in a catatonic state and ends up at the mental asylum they were going to send him to, but they didn't want. But the other guys were afraid to send him to because they knew he was going to beat the prisoners.
Well, and he had the ability, he could take sickness out. So the warden's wife is sick. So Tom Hanks,
cancer, I think it was.
Yeah, he loads up Michael Clark Duncan and they take him to the house and he sucks the cancer out and he holds it. And he's choking on it, and Tom Hanks is like, let it out, big guy, let it out.
Because he has to breathe it out, and it comes out like gnats.
But he's holding on to it, and it's because he grabbed Percy, right?
Yeah.
Was it the other guy?
Billy Bob, or Wild Bill.
Yeah.
Wild Bill.
Well, he grabs Wild Bill, and he breathes all that bad shit into...
He breathes it into Percy's
mouth. It's Percy, and that's why Percy...
And that's why Percy kills Wild Bill.
He just loses his shit.
And, it's a, 2-hour movie?
Yeah.
But every hour is
worth it.
And
even though the guards know that he's innocent, Michael Clark Duncan is innocent, and, like, childlike innocence.
He's afraid of the dark. He is...
He's like, boss, can you leave a light on, boss? Like, and he's like, why? He's like,
I'm afraid of the dark, boss. He's an old, the old slave, yes, a massa note. I mean, that's the gimmick.
But he's just so kind. He's good. He's an angel on earth. And they know he's innocent. And they know he's special. And he's like directly from heaven. But they still have to put him to death.
And I won't.
They're crying the entire time. They're squalling.
They don't want to. And I won't tell you the ending because it's a real Stephen King fuck you ending. But not a fuck you ending. But you're like, motherfucker. You need to watch this. You need to watch this movie, like, tomorrow. If you don't have anything to do, watch this movie.
And the reason Tom Hanks knew he had powers is because he had a really bad
urinary tract infection. Yeah. Bladder infection, yeah.
Yeah.
And Michael Clark Duncan, grabs his package
and heals
through the thing. And he just... And he thought
he was going to attack him because they don't know he's innocent at that point.
Yeah, they just think he killed two children.
So then finally he's like, you know, why didn't you tell him you were innocent? And...
I did, boss. Yeah. They didn't listen.
Because he didn't kill him. He tried. When they found him, he had the two little blonde girls, and he was trying to save them, but he can't.
Because it was
bring
too
back
late.
From the dead.
He can. He did it with the mouse, but it was too late.
It was too late for them. And, I mean, they were brutally raped, and, you know, just. He couldn't bring them back
and
from what they
and it turns
suffered.
Out, and it turns out Wild Bill did it. And the only reason. And he touches Tom Hanks' hand and shakes his hand before he's going to be. Or before they kill off Wild Bill. And he shows him that. Wild Bill did this because he found out when he grabbed Wild Bill or when they brushed hands that Wild Bill was the one who put him in prison.
Right.
And Hanks knows, and Tommy Hanks knows this, but how can he say, oh, the large, because this is deep in the South.
Right. I know that.
In like then, the 30s or 40s.
If even that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell
that
you can't
accuse
black man,
a white man over a black man.
Yeah. They're not going to believe, especially, because he's like a free
especially
slave.
Especially because he
mentality.
Was caught. Like
with the two
holding
little
the two little girls covered in their blood, and he's crying, and he said, "I didn't mean it." That's what he's saying.
No,
I didn't mean.
He said, "I can't take it back, boss. I can't take it
yeah,
back."
Yeah, that's
so
it.
So they think that means he killed
him. He killed him.
He can't. No, but it means
he
can't
he
bring
can't,
him back.
He can't bring him back to life.
Right.
And he's so special. He can't.
I like how we just told the entire plot of this movie. Okay.
You still gotta watch.
You still gotta watch it.
Don't cut this out. No, it's such a good movie. Oh, man.
It's one of Stephen King's best.
Ooh, that and Shawshank Redemption, I'm 1 and 2 there. But I don't want to pick, so never ask me what to pick between the two. Because I won't answer
If I had to pick, I'd pick Green Mile. Shawshank is a good second. But
I'll just call him a tie, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love Shawshank. I'd like to imagine the last thing that went through the warden's head before that bullet was how the hell Andy Dufresne got the... That line fucking kills me every time I watch that shit so often. It's like... because it's so fucking funny. Because... I guess multiverse or casting choice. In Shawshank Redemption for the book, it's an Irishman.
It's
not Morgan Freeman. They made him black for the book or for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that line, well, maybe it's because I'm Irish, is a throwback to the thing for the casting choice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can understand why they got Morgan Freeman because he's got that fantastic
you don't
voice
not, if you
to
have
narrate.
Morgan Freeman, you don't not get Morgan
Shawshank
Freeman.
Shawshank Redemption is narrated for a good part of it.
Yeah, and it's all Morgan Freeman, that voice, though.
Yeah.
He's been...
I mean,
you can't turn that down.
Right. He makes penguins migrating. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I don't know.
So does Snoop Dogg, though.
Have you seen the Bob Saget one?
No.
Bob Saget narrating? Bob Saget is also a dirty comic and no one knew except comedians. And you're like, mm-hmm. oh. Because the first time Bob Saget says dicks and you're like, that's the dad from Full House. What the fuck is going on?
That's America's Funniest Home Videos guy.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Oh no, it's
he's really crude.
Oh no, he's super, like, he's too crude even for me.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in. And I eat ass, mm-hmm. and he's too crude for me.
Oh Jesus!
Speaking of which, where's Kayla tonight?
At home,
mm-hmm, resting.
I like how eating ass reminded you that Kayla wasn't here. Yeah, that's weird. What the? Hold on, wait a minute. That's just strange.
Wait a minute.
The Scoop's designated eating booty is not here. Where is she?
But you know what, there's even been rebooted shows that are kind of like a different take on themselves,
mm-hmm.
set in different multiverses.
Yeah, like Jumanji, the mm-hmm. reboot of Jumanji.
Oh no, that was good though. That's real good.
I want to see it.
But think about Buffy the series was a reboot and it's,
oh, that movie was atrocious. I'm sorry.
No, but it's great for what it was.
Is it?
Yeah.
It was.
A Teen Wolf is based off the movie, but nothing
like the movie. I'll say the best part of the Buffy movie was the one vampire. She doesn't actually stab in the heart. She stabs next to him. He's,
it was such a great movie.
It's
one of those black comedies that you just have to have that humor.
That's like the Peter Griffin, ah.
No, it is. Okay. And she's just like looking at him like, are you ever going to die?
Is this Teen Wolf?
Or you could also look at Clueless is a different version of a Jane Austen novel.
Oh, that's true.
Is it?
And then 10 Things I Hate About You is
Taming of the Shrew.
Taming of the
yeah,
Shrew, yeah.
Yeah,
wait,
is.
Which Clueless was Emma? It was Emma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's new to me. So
I was about to say, like, main character, Alicia Silverstone.
No,
but,
yeah. The, like, I know the character. Clueless, if you read, Emma was about, Emma was a, like, kind of a matchmaker-ish. So you know how in Clueless, she's kind of a matchmaker.
I know enough about the movie Clueless.
Yeah, and she... Emma, same thing, falls in love with one of her friends, but she's not sure how she can handle it. Turns out that he loves her too, and it's Clueless.
Okay.
Same with 10 Things mm-hmm. I Hate About You. It's Taming of the Shrew.
Because she's such a bitch, and in order to date the younger sister, they have to get someone to date the older sister first. Because in Taming of the Shrew, the younger sister wanted to get married, and the father says not until your older sister gets married. So they have to find... So Richard Burton comes in.
I would like to point
thinking
out...
Thinking about the old movie.
Yeah. I would like to point out that that's a real thing people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that happen to me, and I'm like, wow.
Well, and you know, Kayla last episode mentioned Pride, Prejudice,
and zombies.
That's basically kind of the same premise.
Abraham Lincoln Hunter. Wait.
Abraham
Lincoln Hunter.
Wait, you mean John Wilkes Booth?
I said Abraham, like, that was his first and last name. Abraham Lincoln Hunter. John Wilkes Booth.
Happy John Wilkes Booth.
Abraham Lincoln Hunter. I'm just going to leave it in because.
Even if you make it the outro. No, make it the outro. Save yourself.
There's no saving yourself from that. Come on now.
Just keep that in the middle of the episode.
John Wilkes Booth. Just please.
Yeah,
just,
that was good.
Because it works so good. She said it with such zeal and happiness that
Let's try this again. Just like Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
You got it right that time.
Hey.
Not John Wilkes Booth.
One day one of our Patreon tiers should... Do we have all the old episodes and the bloopers saved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should do a blooper reel as an episode one day for a Patreon tier or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
6 hours later.
That's the entire premise of this podcast is one long blooper.
That's 6 hours.
I said
blooper
one big
reel.
Blooper.
There you go.
Angie, it's just one big blooper.
Angie, there's another one.
That just sounds dirty. Oh, baby, look at my flooper.
Oh, my blooper.
Look at my big blooper.
Oh, Jesus.
Moreland, I swear to God, if you call your... Is your blooper veiny? Is that where you're going with it?
Damn straight.
All right,
okay, okay.
We made it so far without you mentioning your goddamn dick.
No, we
didn't.
We mentioned it right at the start.
We mentioned it
right
at the start.
You mean right at the tip?
Yeah.
Moreland wanted to make sure his dick didn't get the shaft of the...
We got to get to the balls of this.
We just got to get to the meat of the situation.
To the meat of it.
Right down to the nitty gritty.
You said
gritty. You just kind of got to wrap around it.
Don't worry, sometimes it'll rise to occasion. How many dick jokes can you make before Becky just tries to pull us back on topic?
She's okay. I think she's just gonna kill us.
If she stares any harder,
I'm okay with either one.
I'm gonna be a father. I don't need to die. I'm gonna have to deal with pregnancy hormones in a couple months. Fuck you. I'm gonna have to deal with, like,
and by that he means his own.
Exactly.
I already have pregnancy brain. Look, it's fucking gone, bro.
Look, as long as you don't put on sympathy weight, we're good.
That means I have to lose weight to put it on, sir.
You can't lose it. I was going somewhere with that and I couldn't remember. So just, you can't lose it.
Okay, Abraham, fuck me. I was gonna shit on Angie to shit on you, and I shit on myself. Shiza. Bukkake.
Yeah. All right then. Okay. So in another universe, we stayed on topic in the multiverse.
Every multiverse episode we have mentioned that, or like in another episode, in another timeline.
We stayed on topic.
I guarantee you that's like the one consistent thing in every like they just jump the fuck off. Because that means, you know, there's alternate versions of us, right? Like if multiverse theory being a thing, that means like there's a straight Angie, there's a dude Angie. By the way.
Broke you?
This reminds me of something. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's something I wanted to discuss with you, as you are the GLAAD representative at the table, as you are.
Yeah.
There is a petition by DC Comics fans to make the Joker gay. Now, let me explain to you why I have a problem. I have no problem with the Joker being gay. I have the problem with the Joker having any type of sexual anything at all. He's pure chaos. What does it matter what is sexual?
That's right.
Why does he even need one? He can be asexual.
He's chaos to the point of being innocent.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but he's like a pure force of destruction.
Yeah, so if they make the Joker gay, that's fine. I don't care, but
why would you?
It's not like he goes around screwing chicks all the time. Why would you?
Yeah, he won't even screw Harley. Trust me, she's tried.
Exactly.
And the only time he did it, the Injustice universe.
Yeah.
I can remember.
He's like one of those why would you?
He's completely asexual because he doesn't care about it.
Yeah.
The only thing he cares about is the Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why they want to make him gay.
That is. They want the Batman Joker.
But it works better as a pseudo homosexual relationship where they can't live without each other. Mm-hmm. That's not even pseudo. That's symbiotic? No. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
Symbiotic.
Yeah. But see, so I thought I'd mention that to you and see what your opinion on it was.
No, like, I think that they go a little overboard with the whole quote unquote inclusiveness. And this is coming from, you know, a perspective where I'm super, you know, you guys know I supported the Black Lives Matter. Yeah. And, you know, I fully support, you know, feminism, but not to the extreme that people
think. Not feminazism.
Yeah. Right, because, and there is a difference. You know, I think that everyone should be included, but not to the exclusion of other people.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It's like you're taking something that has already been well established in the lore of a story and trying to switch it around because I don't know exactly why you would.
It's never even been established. I don't think he's ever had sex in it. He might just be, I mean, his origin story is his wife was pregnant and the whole thing happened, the one bad day. But I think that might be the last time it's ever confirmed he had sex in an actual real-life canon story is his origin.
Right, he
because
snaps.
What does he care?
Yeah.
If all you care about
he has one motive, and it's
not
murder.
Getting ass. Like, that. Came up to my attention the other day, and I wanted to run it past you. And I didn't mean to shock tactic you with it here, but I just wondered what you would say here.
If we want to change, then we need to make the change right now, not go back and rewrite history.
Yeah,
right.
You can't rewrite to make something right.
Angie, here's yours. It's all rainbow and fluffy. Here you go.
It's like, you know, go ahead and making some of the characters female, or, you know, don't take away from this to give you this, because you're not giving yourself anything. And,
right.
And all you're doing is, but you're pushing down men to raise women up. That's not right. We both need to be raised equally.
Yeah,
we are equal. You know, we have to stop seeing a separation in people. We're not separate. We are equal. So if you make a point of saying we need more black characters, we need more gay characters, you're not doing yourself a favor. What you say is we just need people. We need a representation of people.
Write it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you have it.
And that's
they didn't take Black Panther and turn him into a white guy.
Right.
Black Panther exists as he is. It's not... it's not because they're trying to bring him up. That's exactly how he was written already.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing with Black Panther, and I love Black Panther as a character. He is the ruler of a nation in Africa.
Right.
Like, it wasn't, and this is established well before this whole PC, social justice, whatever.
Right.
And I know people are probably going to tune out for this, but this is just something I wanted to discuss because I've been meaning to. And it's just like, he's the prince. He is the crowned ruler of a place, you know, and it's a very important place because that's where all the vibranium is. That's Cap's shield. That's a lot of technology.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's married to what I believe is the second most well-known African-American character in comics, and that's Storm. That might have been erased from canon, though, just because opposite things, but like, they were the power couple, like Mary Jane and Spider-Man were. They were kind of like the quote-unquote black power couple, but it's like, they did that right. He just happened to be this character who happened to be African-American.
Right.
Or there's a character, like, there's other characters who happen to be gay. Their character's not there gay. They just happen to be gay.
Right. They wrote the character to do that instead of taking an iteration of a character and trying to shoehorn it into something make it more inclusive. Yeah,
right. Making the Joker gay. And I remember you, like, when they made Alan Scott gay in Earth 2, you were like, the Green Lantern's going to be gay. I remember you messed with me about that.
Yeah, well, I was letting you know that.
Yeah, yeah. But the way they did it, if you actually read it, the way they did it is just... His ring that he gets, that this power ring, is actually the ring he was going to give his fiance when he got his powers.
Okay.
So he just happens to be gay, and that's how he gets the
ring.
Right,
and that's...
it's all presentation of how you do it.
Yeah, so it's a present... To me, it's like, don't shoehorn a character to make... To me, that's an insult. You're taking something that's... Not an insult to the original character, but an insult that... You know, we have to make sure everybody's included, so I'm going to take this character and rework it.
And
we all know that there was a problem that back in the day when these were written... cater to white people.
They're all written by white men.
But to go back and rewrite it and change it doesn't solve the problem of today.
And that's why a lot of people have turned away from Marvel, believe it or not, because they have gotten very much on this bandwagon.
When you may come from this culture, but we all live here in America where the culture is mixed.
Right.
We eat tacos on a daily. That's not...
In fact, I had some yesterday.
I mean, what is white culture in America? It's every other culture.
Yeah, I had some tacos before I started recording. So.
And I mean, in the black culture here, it's the same as our culture. We have a shared culture.
Well, here's the thing. And I think it gets mixed.
I had this conversation the other day.
Well, I was going to say, if you make it separate, there's always going to be a person who's wrong. I saw somebody on my Facebook posted this article one time, and it was an African-American woman who had written this article saying, stop taking our wedding tradition of jumping over the broom, because that was some sort of, it was a slave tradition. Jumping over the broom was also a pagan Anglo-Saxon tradition back in the in ancient times. You would jump over the broom as a way to show your, as a way to show you moving into being a...
Yeah, yeah. It was for Hestia. You're jumping over a hearth together.
Right.
So it was a tradition for Hestia.
It was an Anglo-Saxon tradition and a Celtic tradition that was used in paganism. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily something that was appropriated from a different... If it had been taken from... Anglo-Saxon traditions and been brought into African-American culture, that would have already been appropriated. Here's the thing that pisses me off on top of it, is that you're being selective about what you call cultural appropriateness. Meanwhile, anime exists. You see a lot of American people who are into anime and Japanese tradition and stuff like that, but that is not considered appropriated because it's, I guess, in popular culture now at this point. But you can't, at that point, you have to make a decision. Are you going to say that you can't appropriate any culture at any point in time and you have to keep it separate?
Or
are you
going
to say, or can you say there are people who can appreciate the culture and can and understand it and want to be a part of it and want to help it grow?
Exactly.
Like Ramon, my buddy Ramon, I think we all know Ramon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If memory serves, he can speak fluent Japanese or semi-fluent. Right. Yeah, so it's like, so it's like, all right. And you would never
expect
that.
And one other language too, I think Meza was telling me, like a German. Like he speaks three languages.
Yeah, I know he does. Which is, if you meet Ramon, you're like, how do you speak one? Like, I don't.
Yeah. Well, I would like to clarify what I mean by this is, if I'm watching a movie and I see a black Cinderella, white Cinderella, Asian, I don't care. It's just a person being cast in the role. She tested the best. When we go to Dragon Con and I see black Wonder Woman, I don't care. I don't care.
Oh, no.
I just wanted to clarify what I meant by that. I don't think that that's appropriating our culture.
Right.
Because this is all a shared culture. And, you know, but to say you have to have at least two black people in your movie, you have to have at least two white people in that movie.
Well, you remember...
That's wrong.
Well, you remember,
give it to the one who tested best.
Well, do you remember the big fucking blow-up about Doctor Strange? How the ancient one... They cast Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
They cast her instead of an older Asian man as the ancient one because in the comics it's always been an older Asian man. They cast her.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I was pissed off because it breaks from the lore I know. But then if you watch it, you're like, okay, it doesn't matter. It's good.
She suited it so perfectly.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't she play a...
She played the Ice Queen in...
And she was also in Constantine.
Yeah, she played Gabriel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was so fucking good in that.
Yeah, she was Gabriel.
Well, first of all, Constantine's terrible. I don't like the Constantine we got, but that's a whole other thing.
But she played Gabriel, a typically...
Male.
Shown as male.
Yeah.
And you don't know if she was male or female in that. She was so completely asexual. I think she was perfect.
I think that's her entire gimmick is she's completely... Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's asexual. I think it's gender fluid. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I still kind of only know what that means.
And that's
the other thing is
stop trying to make straight characters gay, though. That really bothers me.
Oh, yeah.
We need to have our own characters. And that's what we're pushing is our own characters because we are a huge part of society.
Right.
So, if a gay character fits, write it in. But don't tell Hollywood and authors that they have to have a gay character.
Right.
In a straight role. Go back and say Joker better be gay or we're not.
One of my favorite things going off the Tilda Swinton thing, back last year when they cast the first female Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a fucking blow up.
People blew up, and I go, and the first thing I did is I looked at it and I go, you people are mad about a female Doctor Who, yet you widely accepted a female Master. Mm-hmm. Which is the same thing as Doctor Who. They are both Time Lords. You widely accepted the female Master, right. But you're not going to accept the female Master.
And you know why? Because it could have been a love interest. People are always trying to put the love interest together.
It can still be a love interest, technically.
Be. Well, to be fair, there are people there are people in the room who love the good OTP.
Typically, Doctor Who has only had one wife and love interest, being River Song, but.
The thing is, when they die, they become a different person.
Well, you know what?
He has the same memories.
He's the same entity. He just has a different body.
Right.
But you know what that is, right?
Why?
This is not lore. This is actually behind the scenes. It's because if the actor decided to quit, they wrote in the regeneration thing so they can keep the character with a different actor and no one questions it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was widely known to everybody. I've just never
watched. Isn't that kind of the same thing with James Bond, though?
Yeah, how it's James Bond. Yeah.
James Bond is a different guy. Yeah, that 007 is
like
James.
There's been multiple Spider-Man. There's been multiple Flashes.
I don't even have a problem with having multiple Spider-Mans, multiple Flashes. Like, because in those stories, you see a lot of times what happens is somebody... You have a, I guess Miss Marvel is actually good, Miss Marvel is a good example because I think in one Miss Marvel, she's actually Middle Eastern. And
yeah, that's
the newest one.
That's Kamala Khan.
Right. So basically it doesn't change the original character. It just says this character now takes up that mantle as that character.
Like, and the Hulk now is an Asian American teenager guy.
And the reason
Iron Man? Is a black chick.
Oh, you mean Riri?
Yeah.
Not Stark, it's Riri Williams.
And this is why we brought in all the political spectrum, is because when you're talking about multiverses, the reason you have so many multiverses, going back to your question at the beginning, is so you can have this diversity.
Exactly.
This rewrites to be inclusive because a lot of these were written, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s. Wonder Woman was 50s.
It was written by predominantly white.
So when you have a multiverse,
industry.
You can say, you know what? Let's make a black Batman. I don't know if black Batman exists.
Oh,
but...
no, black Superman is amazing because guess what? It's basically just Barack Obama as Superman's power set.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't remember what universe it is, but it's Barack Obama with Superman's power set.
Well, and it's up to us as the fans to put it out there and say we have this diversity.
Well, I mean, you can even make that argument for Wonder Woman because if you looked at old Wonder Woman, she was controlled. She could only be controlled by men, and her lasso.
No, if her wrist,
her bracelet. It's called Aphrodite's Law.
Yeah, if she was in bondage to make her a fucking cheesecake doll, it worked. Mm-hmm. And you know how they rebelled against that? They made her a demigod, and that's
exactly
what we have.
And that rewrote her history to make it not acceptable.
Because it was written in the 50s where women were submissive to men.
So now
he called it Aphrodite's Law.
And so now you get to that point where it probably would not be acceptable at this time for a woman to be brought down by the man. I hate to say it like that, but basically.
But I know what you mean, yeah.
But like, that's not the same. We're not living in that generation anymore.
And you know, with the rewrites of, not Captain America, because that is canon, but with Superman and Justice, you know, everybody has a breaking point.
Right.
Right.
So now, living in the times we do now, where everything is so stressed.
How many times have you read the book, by the way? Because I loaned you that book, and Angie always talks about injustice, and I'm like, Angie, how many times have you read that book?
No, it is one of my favorites. You'll be lucky to get it back.
Fair enough. I'll just buy a new copy. It's faster. No, but remember when I told you about Injustice 2, who the bad guy is? Mm, okay.
Yeah. Wonder Woman, right?
Well, Brainiac, the big bad, but like mm-hmm. where Superman is kind of decommissioned, Wonder Woman takes up, and you're Woman, like, oh, what happened here?
Yeah.
But I think that also is a good way of an example of seeing these characters that we've come to see as heroes and protagonists and like these icons of good, see what could actually happen. Because let's think about it in D&D, lawful good is literally one step away from chaotic evil. Yep. It's true if you think about it.
No, yeah.
Lawful
evil.
Or lawful evil, yes. Yeah,
lawful good is so close, and that's why paladins could tip the scale into being an anti-paladin so easily. A paladin couldn't make the choice to be an anti-paladin. You had to do something innocently. Or is lawful good if a woman and child's being raped in front of you and you murder all the men who did it? Well, technically, you can't murder.
Technically, because it's lawful.
Yeah.
That's why chaotic good is the best alignment. No, that's my opinion.
And there's that video I need to show you. The guy explains how to be evil in your party without being evil and just being a murder hobo.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about basically your interactions where you just intimidate people all the time. That's not necessarily a good guy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an interesting take on it, because I know that like not a lot of people want, like, because we're afraid. I'm not saying we're afraid to run an evil campaign,
mm-hmm.
but I would love to play an evil character, but not be like the murder guy trying to kill everybody, but just be the asshole. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like,
right.
But within good reason, you know.
Multiverses, I think, exist because they wanted to rewrite stories to match the times, to be inclusive and diverse.
Well, some
and appeal to, yeah, some of them. Some of them is just like, what if?
Hey Becky! You motherfucker! Oh, God.
Hey, Becky.
I just want to give Scoob an aneurysm one day because of it.
My blood pressure will do that. Anyway.
Where can they find us? Is that what we're asking?
Hey Becky, where can't they find us?
Basically nowhere at this point. I think we're on everything.
Mm-hmm. Even on a billboard.
I followed us on Spotify today.
I did too.
Wait, Spoofy? We're on Pornhub?
Yes,
haven't you
will
seen
be.
Scoob's like cosplays?
Marlon has to talk to you after the podcast.
Yeah, Marlon, we've got something to tell
but
you.
But if you are interested in finding us,
Marlon,
do you remember Becky with the bald hair and Scrappy? Who was supposed to be Shaggy?
Well,
I'm going home.
Marlon. Mm-hmm. Marlon, I need you to do me a favor.
What?
When you get home.
What?
I need you to move the shirt. 3 inches to the left that is on your computer table. It is blocking the camera that you don't know is there till right now.
Yes, Marlon.
3 inches to the right. Gotcha.
This is the weirdest ASMR I've ever heard.
Quick, Marlon.
You can find us on Facebook at the Free Rotation
Podcast.
That's
all you had to do, Becky. That's all you had to do.
Because we were going to keep
going.
You
can find us on Twitter at the Free Rotation. We also stream on Twitch at the Free Rotation, and we're also on YouTube at the Free Rotation.
And where else are we?
We're also on Spotify.
And?
Google Play.
And?
Stitcher.
And?
Libsyn.
And?
Apple Podcasts.
And?
Your local stand-up comedy stage.
Weeby Geeks.
I wanted
list. And? Weeby Geeks?
Good call. We're on Weeby Geeks. That's a podcast.
I like how they...
We're on Patreon.
If they ever knew how many times you fucking forgot and we had to remind you, they'd throw us off. We'd be excommunicated.
They were just on so many things, guys. And if you can kind of like go and like and review and subscribe...
So would you say we're on that next level shit?
We're also looking for a new podcast host because Scoob just mysteriously died after this episode.
No, I didn't.
There was no mystery to it.
We know what happened.
Yeah, he tripped over the cat.
Internet.
That's our story.
Internet, in the comments, because I know Aaron will do this, because the last comment I saw was like a half a book. List in the...
Oh, but thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, no, thanks, bud.
Yeah.
List in the room if I died and it turned out it was a murder. Out of the three people, and we'll even include Jake and Kayla and Bawu as like a dark horse, who would be the...
Bawu's killed us all.
Bawu's the leader. What are you talking about?
Who would be the most likely to kill me? And why?
I think everybody knows the answer.
It's Becky.
It's me. Becky.
I just want to see what the internet thinks. I don't give
a fuck
what you think.
Internet.
Okay, who internet.
All right, internet.
Internet, just reaffirm the fact that...
It's Clue.
Oh, good call.
Becky, where, with what? I mean, who where, with what? What? I didn't even mean to do that.
Did you?
No, I really didn't.
That's very Freudian of you.
Yes. But yeah, if you can, like, rate, subscribe, leave us a comment.
Tolerate nicely.
Yes, that would be great. We're
and follow.
And follow like, us. Download our episodes.
Download.
Okay, that's it.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody. And remember, don't let your cat jump on the surge protector.
'Cause you could run into yourself and have sex with yourself?
No.
No.
Oh, I do.